title of our message tonight is His Sovereign Will and Purpose. We serve a God of purpose, and He has a will for every man. You know, a preacher once said preaching was not designed to teach us something new in every sermon, something that we did not know before, but its main purpose is to put us into remembrance of things that we do know. And one thing to always remember is that all Scripture, beginning to the end, is absolute truth. God's Word says in Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. 2 Peter 1:20-21, Word of God says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And then in 1 John 5:7, the Scripture says that there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, which is Jesus Christ our Lord, and the Holy Ghost. And we must always remember these three are one. We worship one God in three persons. One of my favorite verses that describes our Lord Jesus Christ is in Isaiah, and we all know it and are real familiar with it. But it says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Almighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. We're going to look at some things that the Holy Scriptures say about our Lord Jesus. Not what the world says, but what God's Word says. You know, our Lord Jesus is absolute sovereign in creation, providence, and salvation. And we're going to look at all three of those for a few minutes. But the word absolute means not diminished in any way, but total. As a believer, I need to realize that nothing just happens. Our Lord has a purpose and a plan for everyone and all things. In other words, nothing happens without the permissive or the directive will of God. If you will, turn to Romans chapter 11, verses 33 through 36. Romans chapter 11, 33 through 36. The Word of God says, oh, the depth of the riches both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor, or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. If you will, turn to Isaiah chapter 46. Our God is absolutely sovereign in all things. Verses 9 and 10. He says, remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Now we're going to look for a minute at what the Scripture says about Christ and creation. Turn to a very familiar Scripture. It's in the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. Verses 16 and 17. This is speaking of our Lord Jesus Christ. God's word says, for by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And listen to this. And he is before all things, and it is by him that all things consist. And then in the book of John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. These verses plainly explain and show that Jesus Christ is absolutely sovereign in creation. Now, concerning his sovereignty and providence, there's many, many verses throughout the Bible, but we're going to look at two of them. One of them is in the book of Daniel, and it says that all of the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say, what doest thou? The Bible says it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Now, if you would, please turn to 1 Chronicles 29. First Chronicles 29, speaking of our Lord here, of his sovereignty. Verses 11 and 12. The Bible says, thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heavens and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thy hand is power and might, and in thy hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. And our Lord is also absolutely sovereign in salvation. The world don't like that, don't like the word sovereign. One thing I never heard of whenever I was in religion was the word that God was absolutely sovereign in providence. But that's not the case. But in Acts 4:12, the word of God says, and it's so easy to understand, neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby that we must be saved. I have had so many people to tell me, I have made my peace with God. That's impossible. We have to go through our great high priest, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. In John 14:6, our Lord Jesus plainly says, he says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. All the promises of God for his chosen people are in Christ Jesus. There is no love of God outside of Christ. He says in 2 Corinthians 1:20, for all the promises, the scriptures back that up, for all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him, amen, and to the glory of God by us. God's word says in Galatians, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of our Godhead body, and we are complete in him. The believer's main focus should be upon the person, our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ said in Matthew, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. God's holy word says in John, he that believeth on the Son hath life, and he that believeth not on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. God has a definite plan and a purpose for the world, and he is always in control of all things and is constantly at work in accomplishing his plan. And God controls and he uses everyone, even the devil, in working out his plan. Job, like every true believer, he knew that the Lord was sovereign in providence. He knew that the Lord is the first cause of all things. Satan and other second causes can only do what God pleases to permit them to do. As for the Lord's elect, they must always remember what it says in the book of Romans, that we know that all things, Job knew this, all things work together to the good to them that love God. But it don't stop there. It says to them who are the call according to his purpose. The book of Job is said to be the oldest book in the Bible. Job lived before Moses did. And with that in mind, the gospel of redemption is older than creation. In Revelation, it speaks of Christ our Lord as a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. The Bible says in the book of Romans, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know, our God is a covenant God. He made a covenant with Noah, Abraham. He made one with Moses, David, and other Old Testament prophets. And the Lord always keeps his promises. Speaking of Christ Jesus, God's word says that his blood is a covenant that is everlasting. Hebrews 13:20 says, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. And then we're going to look at one more place. Let's look at Matthew 26. This was just before his crucifixion at the last Passover supper. Matthew 26. In verse 26, him and his disciples were breaking bread. It says, as they were eating, Jesus took the bread and blessed it. He broke it and he gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and he gave thanks and he gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Listen to this. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. All of God's elect are his disciples. Our Lord Jesus said in John 14, he said, I go to prepare a place for you. And then he says that I'll come again and receive you into myself, that where I am, there you may be also. We're going to go to our text now, if you would. Job 19. Our text is going to be from Job 19. This was some 3,000 years before Christ came to this earth. But the Lord had put his faith in Job to know that his Redeemer would live. He says in verse, our text is 23 through 27. It says, oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were printed in a book, but they were graven with an iron pen and laid in the rock forever. Job says, for I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. He was talking about Christ when he was born in Bethlehem. And he lived for 33 and a half years on this earth before he went to the cross. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another, for my reins consume within me. You know, Job went through great pain and suffering, but like all true believers, in their heart and in their soul, they know that regardless of what happens to them in their life, it's for the will of God, it's for his glory, and it's for our spiritual good. Most of the time, it's for our spiritual good. At times, it may be for our physical good. But it says, if you will, look at the last part of verse 21, just above there. You know, Job, he knew. He didn't. It says here in at the top of verse, at the bottom of verse 21, Job said, "The hand of God hath touched me." Job knew that what he was going through, it was by the permissive or the directive will of God. He knew that. He knew that with all of his heart. He didn't say the hand of Satan did this. He said, "The hand of God, the hand of God did it touch me." And then Job says in chapter 13, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." Job went through many trials. We go through many trials today, all of us. It says in Job, Job said that a man that is born of a woman, that his days are few and full of trouble. You know, and it seems like I've been here at no time. And then already, you know, it is. Life's like a vapor. It appears for a little while and it's gone. I know when you're real young, you don't realize that. But when you get some years on you, you look back and you say, "Where did it go?" It goes fast. But if you will, look at 1 Peter 1. Verses 6 through 9. God's word says, "Wherein you greatly rejoice, for now for a season. If need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perish, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, yet love, and whom though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls." If you remember back in Genesis, whenever Adam committed that first sin, Adam and Eve died spiritually, not physically, but they died spiritually. And sin passed upon all men, but fellowship with God come to an end. And God, in his holiness and in his justice and in his righteousness, he must condemn sin because the law of God had been broken. But the Lord, he knew there would be a redeemer, a mediator between God and man, a savior. The payment of sin is blood. And that blood must be perfect and without spot, must be spotless. And the only one that could redeem God's chosen people, the only one that could redeem him, was an almighty God himself in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, God's word says, speaking of the Lord, he says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." And then God's word says that salvation is of the Lord. If you will, look at John 19. His perfect obedience is our righteousness. We have no righteousness within ourselves. His blood sacrifice is our justification. It says in verse 28 of John 19, it says, "After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scriptures might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, and put it up on hyssop, and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. The work of salvation is finished. It has been accomplished. He bowed his head and gave up the ghost." The Bible plainly says in Ephesians, for by grace are you saved through faith, which is a gift from God. Everything is a gift from God that we receive. We have nothing to offer him. And that not of ourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Something that to take note of in Genesis is that when Adam and Eve sinned, they seen their shame and their nakedness, and they sewed fig leaves to cover themselves up. But this was unacceptable in the eyes of God. So in Genesis 3:21, the Lord made coats of skins, and he clothed them. Adam stood there, and he received it. He didn't kill the lamb. He didn't shed the blood. He didn't make the coats of skin, and he didn't cover himself. God did it all. And this is pointing to Calvary, our Lord Jesus Christ. Concerning all of God's elect in the Old Testament, Hebrews 11:13 says that all died in faith, not having received the promises. And as the pastor said the other day, you can change that word faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. These all died in Christ, having not seen. They were looking ahead, far off, and they were persuaded of them and embraced them. And they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. They all looked forward to the Lord's coming. We, on the other hand, we look back at his coming, but we also look ahead to his coming. It could come at any time. Titus 2:13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Okay, if you will, go back to your text, Job 19. In verse 27 of our text, it says, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another, though my rings be consumed within me. What is Job here saying? When he says that though my rings be consumed, he's saying that he has an earnest desire to see and to be with our Lord. We all do. All of God's elect, they have a desire to be like Christ. He says over in the book of John, Beloved now are ye the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what ye shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, that you shall be like him, for you shall be able to see him. Imagine that, to be able to see him as he is. And you know, the Lord's going to have the preeminence in all things. If we look at Revelation 5, I'm just about finished. Revelation 5, verses 11 to 13, Revelation 5, verse 11, and I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders. And listen to this. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, hear thy saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb forever and ever. That's the record that God has given us of his Son. It says in 1 John 5, verses 11 through 13, this is a record. You know, the Bible says, believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I shall be saved. But it's to believe on the Christ of the Bible, of the Holy Scriptures. He is absolutely sovereign in all things. It says, as I said, this is a record that God hath given us to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things, listen to this, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And that's the Son of God that is in the Holy Scriptures. It's all in Christ. We need to look to Christ, and we need to keep looking to Christ each and every day of our lives. I'm so full of sin, but it's not about me. It's all about Him. I thank God for His mercy. I thank Him for His grace. I thank Him for His love. And I thank Him for His precious blood. I'm finished.